Well, gardening and bird watching are two of our most popular pastimes, not only in Wisconsin, but in the United States, across the country. Today, we're going to be talking about how you can put those two passions together right outside your window. Larry Mueller here, and glad to welcome to the microphone Mariette Nowak, who is an active leader and volunteer for the Wild Ones, Native Plants, Natural Landscapes, and also with the Lakeland Audubon Society. And she's the author of a great book. We talked with her about it. Oh, the first edition came out a year and a half ago or somewhere around there. Title is Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And we have a new edition out now with some updates. And great to have her with us. Thank you so much for listening in. Questions for her as we move along today. Love to hear what you're doing in the way of attracting birds using plants, or maybe you have questions about what kinds of plants would fit best in your conditions wherever you are in the state. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'll be happy to take your post. And if you got a good picture or photo to put on the page with maybe with birds or certainly with great landscaping, we'd love to see that as well. Mariette, thank you so much for taking time to be with us again.
Well, thanks for asking me, and I'm happy, very happy to be here.
Great to have you back. Many of us first think about putting bird feeders up as a way to attract birds to our gardens and yards, but your approach is a bit different, using native plants.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons is bird feeders are great. I have them too. But there's a lot of birds that do not come to feeders. Of the over 900 some birds in the U.S., for example, in North America, only about 100 ever come to feeders. And so you're missing a lot of great birds by just putting up feeders and not having a good landscape, a good habitats for them, which you can create with our great Wisconsin native plants.
Yeah, so the plants, they would rather come to the plants sometimes than come to a feeder.
Well, some don't come to the feeders at all, like thrushes and most warblers and so forth. So you really want to have the plants and the habitat for them to attract them to your yard. I had a small yard in Greendale, a suburb of Milwaukee, for example, and I had more than just a little over 80 birds come to my feeders, but only a third of them, come to my yard, but only a third of them ever came to my feeders. So,
interesting.
Yeah, you can get a lot more birds with good habitat.
And it's so much fun.
It is. It is just great. Yeah, just even some wood piles, save those littered leaves. Don't rake up all those leaves. They can attract a lot of birds at this time of year, and especially migrants.
Well, you know, it was just fun. I was having breakfast this morning with my daughter. My wife left for work early, and so we were out. We were in our dining room area and looking out the window at our bird bath. And my daughter said, "Oh, Dad, look! There were five robins."
Oh yeah.
On the at the bird bath, and they were drinking, and one jumped in to take a little bath, and it's just so much fun to see. To see that sort of thing.
Oh, it is great. Yeah, it's interesting. That's actually what I had at my bird bath, too, this morning. And the other thing, though, about robins, I've seen them eating a lot of cedar berries, the red cedar trees. A lot of times, you know, they can be a little invasive for people who want prairies, but they are great for birds. And I think that a lot of our fruit, because of the drought on our shrubs and some of small trees and so forth, didn't fruit as well because of the drought, but there were still a lot of berries on the cedars. And I saw a large flock also of cedar waxwings, well named because they love cedar berries.
Yes.
So both of those were really feeding a lot on the red cedars this year.
Well, tell us about your book, how it's organized. I love it, by the way. It's
such
great information in there, and I love the color photography. It's just beautiful photography.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I had a lot of contributors, and I have to mention, of course, Jack Bartholomew, who did a lot of the close-ups of the bird pictures.
Yeah.
He did a very good job, and he's very generous. He provided those free of charge. But as far as the organization of my book, first of all, you can have just a general bird garden where you have a lot of a variety of plants to attract birds, and I talk about that initially. But you could also specialize in different species of birds. For example, you could have a hummingbird garden and a shrubland garden for shrubland birds.
Mm-hmm.
They're declining a lot too these days. You could have a prairie garden, which really is kind of like the perfect, or the, it should be considered the American garden, because no other continent had prairies like we did. And of course, I also talk about a winter garden and a migratory garden. Those are the perfect ones to talk about today, for example, because it's fall and we have a lot of warblers and robins actually migrating through, and a lot of sparrows. The warblers are sort of past, but there's still a lot of sparrows around. And I still have some yellow-rumped warblers in my neighborhood. and also the winter garden. With winter coming up, it's, we can talk more about those. But I do have the water garden. The bluebird garden, which is basically like a savanna, mostly prairie, but scattered trees. And so there's, I have about nine different particular bird attracting gardens that you could feature.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And you mentioned the water garden. I kind of enjoyed looking at that. There's so many rain gardens now coming into play in cities like Madison, for example.
Oh, I know. That's great. So they not only have environmental values, but they really could be considered like mini wetlands for the birds, too. So that's what's so great.
Absolutely. Well, talking today with Mariette Nowak about her book, which is Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And Rick in West Bend has a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Rick. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. First of all, thank you for your show. You are playing a huge part in caring for our state. This is really good stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks. This is regarding shrubland garden, I guess. I am involved with invasive shrub control up here. One thing is when we kill all these buckthorn and autumn olive and all this stuff, we're leaving a vacuum out there in these natural areas. And we'd love to be able to fill that vacuum with shrubs that attract birds, especially stuff that hangs on in the winter. So looking forward to hearing the rest of the show. We can definitely use this knowledge to help build little feeding stations, living feeding stations, and change the menu over to the natives rather than we know that the birds are so attracted to autumn olive berries, for instance, and that's spreading out into the natural areas so bad. And it would be great to have stuff that we could just get in there and get planted right after we kill this stuff. So.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing. I'll take the answer off the air.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick, for calling. And that certainly can be done, can it, Mariette?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We have two of the greatest groups of shrubs in our state and in the whole Midwest, really, are the viburnums and the dogwoods. And there are some species that do well in a woodland, in a wooded area. For example, there's a dogwood anyway, that one of the dogwoods that pagoda dogwood, yes, that's a great woodland one, and that can that actually likes a little space, so it could take up an area that's fairly open in your woodland. Of course, all of the shrubs will fruit more if they're near the edges or get a little light, but if you've taken a lot of the shrubs out, you might have a lot of light in those woods. There's also some viburnums like the American high bush cranberry. Don't get the non-native one that is more invasive, but the American high bush cranberry is a great one for woodlands, and if some of the viburnums would be good too, especially along the edge. So you should always look for those those two species, genera of shrubs to start with, because they are so great.
Thanks again for that question. Enjoying our conversation here with Mariette Nowak about her book and about birdscaping in the Midwest. I like that term, birdscaping, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And we're going to get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, we need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs you enjoy. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported, and we're in the fall membership drive. Judith Sears Poisson with me now, and we're asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Do it right now to make a gift in support of the programs that you rely on.
And we know you rely on the Larry Mueller Show for great information about things like gardening, birds, home improvement, pet care, health, so many great topics. We really hope you'll show your support. You know, last hour we heard from 21 listeners who made their pledges. Thank you so much for that generosity. This hour we have a goal of 70 pledges. That's 7-0. These goals are extremely important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on WPR. Take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on this program, we cover topics like the environment, and we talk about consumer issues, we talk about gardening, advice topics, Wisconsin authors, and Wisconsin food. You get a lot of great information from this program, I think, and it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So please support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on WPR with a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that the best reason that you give to WPR is to support the programs you enjoy. Today, as an added incentive, we have something really special for you. You can get your own copy of Birdscaping in the Midwest by Mariette Nowak when you give $120. Ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a $180?
Yes.
$180 contribution.
What did I say?
$120.
Whoops, sorry. $180. Sorry about that. Don't hold me to that other one.
All right. So it's a $180 contribution. It's a lovely, lovely book. And something like 340 pages
gorgeous
or somewhere.
Gorgeous book.
It's a gorgeous book. WPR is probably preset in your home or your car, probably your home and your car. You listen to WPR a lot, and it's time to become a contributing member.
Help pay for the station you listen to so much. Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. Do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Still looking for 69 pledges.
More than 8,000 individuals and families are sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Setting up a monthly gift to WPR is simple, but your sustaining membership is a big deal. Your generosity benefits everyone who listens to WPR. That's more than 200,000 people every day. On behalf of those listeners and the staff of WPR, thank you.
Pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Larry here with Judith, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $50, or maybe it's $180. Maybe you'd like to take that Birdscaping in the Midwest book home. Maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Michelle from La Crosse says, I listen to WPR daily to stay informed with unbiased news, to become better educated, and to connect with my statewide community. Thanks for that comment, Michelle. And I think, you know, what's really at the core of what Michelle is saying is that WPR has a reputation for quality and substance. Your contributions in the past have gotten us to this point, and your pledge today will take this kind of strength well into the future.
Your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to keep that quality and substance that you count on in our programs every day. So pledge your support now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 68 pledges. And remember, you can get your own copy of Birdscaping in the Midwest for your pledge of $180 or more.
We don't expect any one or even 100 listeners to carry the cost of this program. In fact, we're glad that the bulk of our budget comes from thousands of listeners like you.
It makes for a more stable organization, and it lets us know that thousands of people appreciate the programs they get from Wisconsin Public Radio. So join them. Become a member. You decide the amount, then pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving takes a couple minutes of your time. Just tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. And then consider using your credit card. It saves time, postage, and paper, and it puts your money to work right away. No matter how you choose to give or how much, take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552.
Larry, we're still looking for 68 more pledges in the next 70 minutes or so. Help us make our goal, everyone, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for Birdscaping in the Midwest with your pledge of $180 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you do make your pledge, think about becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and it breaks your pledge into affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact. But the important thing is give now. You choose the giving method that works for you and how much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Carol from Arborvita, Wisconsin says, one of the things I most look forward to on returning to Wisconsin each summer is listening to WPR.
There you go.
And Carol, I bet you listen to Garden Talk, and I bet you listen on Wednesdays to our environmental programs as well.
I bet she does. And join Carol, donate now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your contributions today. We really, really appreciate it as we visit with Mariette Nowak about her book, Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And Mariette, we have lots of callers on. Let's go to Martin in Pfitzer next, who has a question for you. Hi, Martin. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. As a young lad, I went to sleep many a night listening to the sound of a whippoorwill. What can I do to attract them?
That's a good question. I love that song, and you probably have fond memories of that one as well, Marianne.
Right, yeah. I have heard one only in one location where I live this year. They are definitely declining, and we're concerned about them. Well, they do like a lot of insects. That's what they feed on primarily, so... we want to plant native plants for sure, because those are the plants that provide the insects for birds. The non-native plants do not have the enzymes or the insects don't have the enzymes to feed on the non-native plants. So that's one of the major things you can do. And also, they like a clearer areas sometimes to feed on, and feed on the leaf litter and so forth. So getting those invasives out of the woods and having a little bit more of an open area can be helpful too. But the native plants will do a whole lot. That's what probably is one of the main causes of the decline of many of our birds, because we don't have enough insects, aerial insects. Aerial birds are also declining, like they're getting becoming concerned about swallows and so forth, because maybe there aren't enough insects for them to feed on in the air anymore. So we really have to stop those pesticides. That's another big thing. Let's not use pesticides or minimize our use of them so that they're not killing the insects that these birds need.
And thanks a lot for calling, Marilyn. Appreciate it very much. Jan in Eau Claire, turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I appreciate this. It's very good timing. I need a shrub, hopefully with berries on it. The conditions I have are they're cedar trees, so they have not only roots, so I'm wondering about the water requirements, and I'm concerned also with cedar rust. So I need something that does not have cedar rust or doesn't get cedar rust. And I'd like a fast grower, and I'd like one with berries. So wondered if the American Highbush Cranberry would be a good solution to this, or if you have other suggestions.
Yes, I think viburnums would be good. Thorn apples and, the crab apples you wouldn't want, because that would be host for the cedar apple rust. So, but to turn to viburnums and dogwoods would be a great idea. And you said you want to know the water requirements, but I have in my book, it has a list of the dry loving shrubs and the wet, those that prefer moist soil. So you can, whatever your conditions are, you can check on that. And
The cedar is probably not dry, not overly dry. It probably could be a moisture situation there, wouldn't it?
Well, the cedar, the idea is that you don't want cedar trees near the apple trees
right.
or the apple family
for
trees.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And I think that the guidelines are, I can't remember the exact requirements, but I think they should be several miles away even. So, so that's why I haven't actually planted a crab apple in my yard yet, although there are some resistant crab apples, I understand now. So,
American high bush cranberry a fast grower?
That I don't have on the top of my head now. You'd have to really, I'd have to check a source for that. That, yeah. I am not sure of.
Not sure either. But thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Marianne Nowak, our guest today, as we talk with her about birdscaping in the Midwest. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Turning our attention back to the phones and more callers online. By the way, you can join in. There is an open line at 1-800-642-1234. Right now, we're going to Victor in Milwaukee. Victor, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry. Nice to see you from last time at the Mitchell Dome. I don't know if you remember me. And hello, Mary.
Hi, Victor.
Well, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah.
How do you protect the birds from predators, from like feral cats or anything? Because you enjoy watching the birds feeding, but it'll be a horrible sight to see them get attacked and get eaten. And that wouldn't make anybody safe. So is there a way to set it up to prevent or minimize attacks from predators?
That is a good question, because birds do kill millions of birds, and in some areas even endangered species and so forth. So, of course, the best thing is to keep cats indoors, and the American Bird Conservancy has a program. You can go to their website, and they have a Cats Indoors campaign and all kinds of literature. So I've sent that to my neighbors sometimes. Ah. And the other thing is you have to know what your community's laws are. If cats are allowed to roam, then you have to do something. But there's a number of good communities where it is illegal to allow cats to roam. So I hope you're in one of those. But if you're not, I would say keep the area around your feeders a little more open. And someone had told me, I haven't tried this, but maybe you could plant or just pile up brambles and thorny things around so that the predators can't get to the feeders as easily. So those are some of the things. And also you can trap them if it's illegal to have them, or if they're just roaming and they don't have a collar on, trap them and take them to your local shelter or humane society. Mm-hmm. And it's not really good for cats either. They're killed by cars, pick up diseases. Most veterinary organizations and doctors suggest that you keep cats indoors for their own health.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for calling, Victor. Appreciate it very much. And a Facebook comment from Sheena. I found out this year that planting a lot of sunflowers attracts a lot of goldfinches. She said, my yard was a goldfinch mecca this year, and hours of watching entertainment for my indoor cats. And that's sure right.
Well, good. Indoor cats, that's the key.
A Facebook question from Kay. Is West Nile still a worry with bird baths and gardens with water? West Nile virus.
Well, it is important to make sure your water, your bird baths or ponds are not breeding mosquitoes. And sometimes a dripper will help. Like I have a dripper in my bird bath, and because the water is moving just a little bit, I never attract mosquitoes there. We created a pond in our yard, and at first we had mosquitoes and I was concerned about it, but then we had frogs in the neighborhood, and fortunately they kept the mosquitoes out of sight. I never even saw larvae after that. But if you don't have them in city areas, I know a friend who was right in the middle of Milwaukee. She just got minnows from a bait store every year, and the minnows kept down the mosquitoes. So, yes, it's very important. West Nile is still around. And, of course, you may have read that it's killed a few people in Wisconsin.
Yes,
and
some it is.
Have the diseases. So, I mean, without, they're recovering, but they had the disease. So it is very important to make sure your water features are not attracting mosquitoes.
Let's turn to Sarah in Madison next. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having the show. It's fantastic.
Well, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to put a plug in for my favorite shrub, the serviceberry, and I wondered if your guest had any thoughts on the serviceberry and which varieties work the best in Wisconsin, or if there are any concerns about the about invasiveness. I haven't had any problems with them, but just wondered what you thought about them.
I like the serviceberries, yeah. Too. What do you think, Mariette?
Oh, they are great. In fact, I think that's one of the best ones for, say, June. Sometimes serviceberries are called June berries. It's one of our first plants to offer berries for the birds, so it's really great from just that standpoint, offering them before our summer berries are available. And I have one in my yard, and most people I know usually get the Levis, L-A-E-V-I-S species, because that one is a tree that does well in Wisconsin. And, the birds will come in droves to that, cedar waxwings, robins. It's just great. But there are a lot of different service berries, too. There are some shrubs and so forth, as well as the trees form. And I don't have close acquaintance with the shrubby ones, but, you know, you can check with your local nurseries or native plant nurseries and find them. But it's a good native plant. It's not invasive. I think you asked that, too. It's not invasive at all. You don't have any problem with that.
Thanks. Right. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. We have open lines. You can join in, too, with questions or comments, maybe some suggestions about plants. As we visit with Mariette Nowak about birdscaping in the Midwest, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a Facebook comment and photo on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. So give us a call, shoot us an email, or go on Facebook. Caller Ben suggests nanny berries for winter bird feeding.
Yes, nanny berry is a great. It's one of the viburnums. Remember, I told you that group, and they're an excellent one because there's a number of viburnums that hang on to their berries longer than the dogwoods. So they're really generally the viburnums are better for fall and into winter. So yes, a great one. I love the nanny berry.
I think it's a wonderful plant as well, and right about the winter interest as well. If you just have room for a few plants, what are some, you know, good choices for bird magnet plants, so to speak?
Thanks for asking that. I think it would be good. Most actually yards are like mini savannas in a way, except that they don't have the grass. The lawn is just non-native. So if you have a tree or a shrub in your yard and want to attract a lot of birds, take some of that lawn out and put a lot of native wildflowers and grasses, and they'll attract birds in the fall and winter a lot for seeds. They'll be beautiful in attracting insects and butterflies. Of course, our butterflies need, and bees. You know, you've heard about bees being in danger too. Mm-hmm. Some we've actually lost even a bumblebee in a species in Wisconsin. So, yeah, I'd say a nice little area like that, and then, you know, instead of, if you have a non-native shrub, you may, if it's declining or something, replace it with one of our natives that will attract insects for the birds and also maybe provide berries. You can, you know, the flowers in the spring will attract a lot of insects, so yes, that would be great.
Appreciate that very much, and certainly look forward to hearing from you as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. Working today with Judith Sears Poisson, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We're here to raise the money we need to pay for the programs that you enjoy, programs like this one, and pretty much that's how WPR works. The people who use it help to pay for it. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Do it right now to support the programs you count on.
And Larry, we have some exciting news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 in effect right now, just starting right now, offered by Sue and Gary Hartman from Libertyville, Illinois. So we are very happy to have that. And I think it's so great that it's a couple from Illinois, because we do get callers from Illinois and Minnesota and Michigan and Iowa and sometimes much farther afield than that. So what that means is your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You get it? Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. Get your pledge match dollar for dollar right now. It's starting right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People sometimes tell me, gosh, you must know a lot.
And you do.
Actually, it's like a tuition-free lifelong education, listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. All you need is a radio or a computer to listen on. We need your support, though, to make it happen. I hope you'll contribute now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And you can choose Birdscaping in the Midwest as your thank you gift for your pledge of $180 or more. Your pledge will help support the programs like The Larry Mueller Show, and you'll enjoy this book. It's a win-win. And it's a win-win-win because we have that dollar-for-dollar match right now. Make your pledge now. Go right away to WPR.org or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
That $180 pledge turns into $360.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. On WPR, you get unbiased news. We get high-quality entertainment. You get informative talk. You get great music. I think it's a rich experience no matter when you tune in.
And this depth and breadth is possible thanks to listener contributions, contributions like yours. So make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I'm a student at Carthage College. I'm probably not your typical listener. I'm, you know, in my 30s, and I have children at home. But I started listening to public radio a couple years back, and I listen every day, and on weekends, I tend to tune that in rather than turn the TV on, and I just am really pleased to hear the opinions of my peers, older generations and younger generations, and it's just really a nice forum for discussion.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of the WPR programs that you count on. And by the way, thanks in advance for your gift, whether it's $50 or $180 or $500 or whatever the amount, that's the amount right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That was a very commanding go, you said, coming out of that little spot. Go. I almost got up and went and pledged myself. We hope you will. Maybe you're not even listening to me because you went and called. You don't have to listen. From a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer, you get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And whether you live in a small town or a big city or out in the country, when you listen to WPR, you're in the global public square here, hearing from artists and reporters and experts in the forefront of their fields. Because you appreciate this access to the best the world has to offer, make a pledge of support at WPR at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Still have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 in effect right now, offered by Sue and Gary Hartman from Libertyville, Illinois. Hope you'll pledge right now to take advantage of that. And a great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make a monthly donation right from your bank account or your credit or debit card. Many people give $10 or $15 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you. As a sustainer, your support will automatically renew every year until you tell us to stop.
And in the long run, the more sustainers we have, the less we'll have to rely on pledge drives to ask for support. It's a great way to give. New this fall, we've added the benefit that sustainers are automatically entered in all our drawings and our sweepstakes.
That's great.
Yeah, and that was kind of a complaint, frankly, in the past. So it's nice that we're doing that right now.
See how responsive we are.
Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get Birdscaping in the Midwest for your pledge of $180 or more. It's a great book. You'll use it, and you'll have birds flocking to your garden.
Giving couldn't be easier. You just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
And save time and money. Use a credit card if you can. Or, better yet, start those automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. However you choose to give, the important thing is that you do it. And do it right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'm doing the math here. And yes, we're still, dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And your pledge of any amount is really appreciated. Ask for Birdscaping in the Midwest as your thank you gift when you give $180 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustainer if you'd like. Your ongoing monthly contributions, it really helps us. And again, sustainers are automatically entered in all sweepstakes and drawings, so that's great. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
Eric from Madison says, I depend on Wisconsin Public Radio programming as part of my daily routine. Well, if we're part of your daily routine, time to make a pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thanks to everybody who's contributed so far. Really, really appreciate it. And if you haven't contributed, now would be a great time to do it. As we listen to Mariette Nowak, who is the author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, a lovely book filled with great information on how you and I can make our lawns really beautiful, for one thing, and on the other, very bird-friendly. And her book tells us how to do that. Joya in Fitchburg, online. I've been waiting a little bit, so let's go there. Joya, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Larry, at the end of the program, can she give her website, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, for the birdscaping, there is a nice catalog from Westfield Nursery from Westfield, Wisconsin, which is close to Portage. And they give you all the native plant. It's a native plant nursery. And for many years, you have him on the program sometimes, on the Garden Talk. And their catalog shows, you know, which plants attract birds and butterflies, like monarch, and also some birds. And so that catalog is very useful for people who are planting new garden in the spring for the bird attracting birds. And number two is, I have a quick question for her. Now, this year, because of the drought, some of the native plants didn't do very well. Will they come back next year?
This has been a very severe drought, a very unusual drought. I mean, it's worse than the one in 1988, the worst in my lifetime. So to tell you the truth, I'm not absolutely sure, but native plants often do just draw back and store what energy they have in their roots and are likely to come back. But this has been such an unusually severe drought that I can't guarantee that.
Yeah,
but they're likely to do better than the non-native plants, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joya's comment about the Prairie Nursery catalog, Neil DeBull is a great nursery, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I always talk about plant sources because I get so many questions on that. And Prairie Nursery is one of the top ones in the state for prairie plants. And there's also some good ones. A lot of times I get questions on for woodland plants. And my top ones for those would be Johnson's Nursery and Reesville Ridge Nursery. Both of those do have non-native plants, too, but they're really tops for the shrubby, woody plants, your trees and shrubs.
Mm.
So I highly suggest those, too.
Excellent. And Joya, thank you again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too, by the way. We have open lines, and I'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. I want to go back to a couple of the gardens and the winter bird garden. Let's talk about that a little bit more. What are the plants that go into that winter bird garden?
That's a good one to think about with winter on its way. Cover is real important for the birds in winter. That would be about the first thing to think about. And evergreens are really an important component because evergreens offer such great shelter. And there are native evergreens to every part of our state. So you can find one that's you know, geared to your area. And the wood, like brush piles, are really great, too, because they can offer shelter for the birds. And they also attract insects. Otherwise, it's always good to have some plants that offer those berries or retain those berries longer, like the viburnums. And hackberry is a great one, too, a hackberry tree.
Yeah.
and about 50 species of birds actually feed on hackberry berries, and that's one of the trees that keeps the berries the longest, sometimes into February. So that's a great, too, and it's always good to have a lot of herbaceous vegetation like the native grasses and native wildflowers, because a lot of the sparrows and finches like to feed on those seeds, yeah. And they also like the shelter in those plants. So that way you can attract a variety of winter birds.
Carl in Winona, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi, Carl.
Oh, hello, Larry. Thanks for the show.
You bet.
I've been involved in seed production for native planting with Prairie Moon Nursery here by Winona, Minnesota, and sometimes in competition with the birds for seeds harvest. There's the cup plant, Silphium, and all the sunflowers are very desired by birds. High protein stuff there. The goldfinches, I call them the flying daffodils. They'll just swarm. They're on the cup plant even before they're ready. I've observed the seeds blowing out of bergamot onto the snow and birds picking that up. I think of planting a prairie planting a bird feeder that can last for 200 years or more. Kind of interesting.
Those are great comments. That's a wonderful, and you're right about the Silphiums. The Silphiums are the cup plants and the prairie dock compass plant. Those are all of the Silphium species and rosinweed too. And those four are so attractive, as well as all the sunflower species. Those are great for birds. You're right, high protein and their favorite seeds.
And I want to say that based on listening to public radio since I was 5 years old, continued education, I grant myself a 360 degrees. That makes a whole well-rounded education.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks very much for calling. It is a great, tell you what, public radio is a great education. You'd listen to it all day long or when you can. Turn it on. You're going to get a wonderful education over time. Thanks again to him. And an email from Patty, who enjoys attracting. She's in West Bend. She loves to attract cedar waxwings to her yard. In the spring, they feed on their serviceberry bushes. In the fall, they harvest the berries on their three thornless hawthorn trees. Last year, the cedar waxwings visited at least twice a day for over a month. This year, the berries were harvested in 2.5 weeks by the cedars and the robins. If you add a bird bath and the robins take a bath after they're done feeding, also the birds, the bluebirds seem to like the Gilbertson birdhouse and mealworms. Oranges and grape jelly in the spring, of course, for the orioles, finches, catbirds, and tanagers. And she put some photos up on the Facebook page as well. So go to my Facebook page and take a look at the wonderful photos that she's put up. And then a comment from Eric. Just like to comment on this discussion this morning. I was watching about 15 goldfinches feeding on the seeds from my native garden, particularly the yellow coneflower seeds. This was the perfect opportunity to educate my 3-year-old. I have Niger seed bird feeders around the yard. They wanted nothing to do with that seed. I leave up my native wildflowers all year just for this purpose. Loves the discussion.
Well, thanks, Eric. That was great to hear.
Oh, wonderful to hear, Eric. Thank you. Marty and Hubertus. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I volunteer for Ware Nature Center.
Uh-huh.
So I get a lot of advice from them.
The Ware Nature Center, yeah.
I know Marriott worked there.
Right. I was the director of the Ware Nature Center for 18 years, so I'm glad to hear someone from Ware. What, do you have a question?
I love Ware.
Yeah, I do too.
What about, if you have a small, I think, Mari, and because we're hearing some background noises there, I'm going to just skip to, I think I know what her question is about. She has a small yard, wondering about what bushes in a small yard will attract birds.
That's a good question. The junipers, there's some shrub junipers, like the common juniper or the trailing juniper. Those would be good. Yeah, they're in the cedar. They're like the red cedar. They would have the berries that a lot of birds would like, and they're very hardy also. So that would be a good, and they're pretty low, especially that trailing juniper. Some other low ones might be, well, I don't know if some people are not too fond of having a lot of raspberries and blackberries, but those are fairly low. And if you have a little place in your yard that would be a little more wild, those would be great. The gooseberries and currants, wild currants, are another good choice that are fairly small. So those are some good suggestions for you.
And thanks again for calling. I appreciate your call very much. We're listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our fall membership drive. Larry here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Here today to raise some money in support of the programs you enjoy on this station. I hope you'll make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. The amount, well, that's up to you. We appreciate every donation because every dollar you give makes a difference. So please give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And I have some great news thanks to everyone who helped us meet the generous dollar for dollar match we had from.
Oh, we made it.
Yes, we did. Sue and Gary Hartman from Libertyville, Illinois, very generously put that challenge out to you, and you met it. So thank you so much for that. That earned an extra $1,000 for Wisconsin Public Radio. But we always have goals, and we are still looking for 49 more pledges before 12:30 to make the goal for today's show. So be the next person to help us along with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about all the issues you've heard discussed on the Ideas Network in the past year. There are so many, and all of those conversations were really possible because of listener support. So please make your pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Do it for all you've learned in the past year on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do it for everything you've learned on Larry's show. Everything from how to birdscape to attract those great birds to your garden to yesterday we were talking to Dr. Sandy Sawchuk. We learned about pet insurance. We've learned how to make craft cocktails. We've learned how to cook with seasonal produce. That's all just in the last week. So if you think about the year, it's just mind-boggling. You know, you decide the amount of your pledge. It's totally up to you. And every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. Consider asking for birdscaping in the Midwest as your thank you gift when you give $180 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Still looking for those 49 pledges.
I'm pretty good at a cocktail party. I know a little bit about a lot of different topics.
You are.
A little bit. I'm not an expert in anything.
Move on when it gets out of your depth, right?
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, it's a lot of fun doing this show and learning. You know, so much about Wisconsin. We do feature Wisconsin here. And I know you probably have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite. Chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. We serve the entire state, really.
We do. And on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, and sounds from all around our wonderful state. Over time, all of those broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection and identity, I would say, for the state that we call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by listeners. Please give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I have many favorites. I like the music for casual listening, but when I want to pay attention, when I want to do intentional listening, then I like anything that Larry Mueller does. I do like Chapter a Day. In fact, I usually try to catch that twice, both early in the day and late at night. I like Saturday Morning Classics by Request, and I love the folk music program on Sunday evening. I like all the NPR offerings, especially Prairie Home Companion and All Things Considered. I listen all the time. I'm Lorraine Henning from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for intellectual stimulation.
And Lorraine, thank you very much, and thank you for your donation. Have you donated yet? Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry and Judith here asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether it's a $50 pledge or it's $180 or maybe it's $1,200, anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and count on your gift.
Still looking for 47 pledges before 12:30. You know, I think it's pretty universal. Most of us, regardless of what we do, like to have our work noticed and appreciated. That's certainly also true for this program and for Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll show your support by pledging right now to Wisconsin Public Radio and showing your appreciation for The Larry Mueller Show and Larry Mueller.
Your pledge, in effect, says, I want some more of this.
I want more, Larry.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of me to go around, as you can see here. But because you do want more, I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, I'm just having that mental image of there's a lot of me to go around. Remember, you can get your own copy of Birdscaping in the Midwest for your pledge of $180 or more. This is a gorgeous book for you for a gift. There are some holidays coming up, maybe a birthday gift. This is really a book you're going to want to pick up.
When you become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step that kind of began a wonderful journey.
Now put one foot in front of the other. Take the next step and become a financial supporter. The step from listener to supporter is easy.
You decide how important WPR is to you, then decide how much you want to give, and then you just go ahead and make your pledge. Take that next step right now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time.
A dollar or two a week, that adds up to about 50 or 100 bucks a year. And all year long, you'll enjoy the program and all of the WPR programs that you count on. So please make your contribution at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
We are looking for 45 more pledges in the next 30 minutes. We really need your help to make this goal. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. No time like the present.
Please contribute right now at 1-888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org. Don't forget to ask for Birdscaping in the Midwest with your pledge of $180 or more. Thanks if you've already contributed. Whether it's a hummingbird on the bee balm or a finch enjoying a feast on your sunflowers, there's a special satisfaction in feeding birds with plants from your own garden. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Mariette Nowak has written a gorgeous and informative book called Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And she shares not just how to feed birds with your plants, but how to get them shelter and nesting spots as well. Have you noticed birds enjoying your plants? Which ones? Does one plant seem to attract a whole range of birds? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or leave a comment, a question, or maybe both, a photo of your bird garden on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And if you click like while you're there, we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with Mariette right after this look at the news. There's a real sense of satisfaction in seeing birds come back day after day to enjoy our gardens. You feel like you must be doing something right, I guess. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Mariette Nowak is an active leader and volunteer for the Wild Ones, Native Plants, Natural Landscapes, and also with the Lakeland Audubon Society. And she is the author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. And Mariette, thanks again for spending time with us. Really appreciate it very much.
I'm very happy to be here.
You may have a question or a comment or suggestion for us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. We've got open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Email from Ben. Ragweed, both regular and the giant types, are among the most protein-rich seed for birds. both ragweed varieties are for native plants as well. Comment on that?
Well, that is really true that they're really great bird food. I hadn't heard for sure about the protein, but on the other hand, there are so many other plants. If a lot of people are allergic to it, you might want to plant something else. But you are correct in that, Ben, definitely correct.
And Facebook question from Kristen. We live in the country. Is there any winter container plant that would attract birds to the deck area? We have feeders there, but we would love to see more new birds.
That is a question I'm not sure I can answer, but I would suggest trying the shrub junipers, like the trailing juniper or the common juniper. I think they could do well, and they would be great for winter, too, along with your feeder. And they'd get the berries for birds, which usually the feeders are more of the seeds, so or the suet, but you'd have then the berries, too. So I think that would be a good possibility, but I have not. I have not tried that.
Hmm. And here's a Facebook question from Shelley. Oh, thanks for the program. She says, "Love to hear more on this question. If you had to pick only three or four trees to plant to attract birds, what would you choose? I already have a native butterfly garden, which many of the birds enjoy, as well as a serviceberry bush. But I do have room in my yard for a few more trees. Any suggestions for the best?"
That's a great question, and I would. The oaks are really one of the top bird food plants in our whole country and in Wisconsin. And although oaks are generally fairly slow growing, there are some that have fairly shallow roots and are easier to transplant than others. And those would include the swamp white oak, the red oak, pin oak, not the northern pin oak. And I had a friend who tried the chinquapin oak, and it has grown very well, and that's a kind of a smaller oak that might do well, too, in your setting. As far as I think an evergreen is always great to include in every yard, and a red cedar, as we talked about before, has a lot of fruit for the birds, and a lot of the fruiting birds would love it. But there's others, too. Depending on where you live, in northern Wisconsin or even central, there are more and more of the other plants of evergreens that are native to your areas, like the pines and the spruces and hemlocks and so forth. So whatever might be more native to your area would probably be the best one to plant. And then hackberries. We talked about hackberries,
yeah.
And they have the more lasting fruit. So what I've chosen here are plants for kind of the spring, summer, and fall and so forth, so that you'd have some plants for birds throughout the year. But the hackberry tend to sometimes have fruit until February.
Yeah, absolutely. John in Prescott, let's turn to you now. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi. I'm sure enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Beautiful up here today. I loved currant jelly that my grandmother used to make when I was a little boy. But it's my understanding that the currant bush is an alternate host for the white pine blister rust. And I love birds, too, and I just thought I'd pass that along, that maybe currants aren't the best choice for some landscape, especially in the North Woods.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yes, that is true. So if you're in the northern half of Wisconsin, that probably would not be a good choice. Yeah, I know I mentioned it before as a small shrub for a small yard. So it depends on where you live.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I just wanted to pass that along for all the white pine people.
Yeah, John.
Thanks, John.
Wonderful day, you guys.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, it's a pretty nice day all the way across Wisconsin. I think a little cooler than we've been having, but still very nice. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Hummingbird gardens, that's something that I would find interesting. We have some hummingbirds coming to our feeder, but it'd be fun to have. And some that come to some of our flowers, but I'd love to have more.
Oh, well, Larry, the best plant I have in my book, put in bold the best plants for birds, hummingbirds, and some of the best are the blazing stars. There's a variety of blazing stars, so depending on the soil conditions, you're sure to find one that would be great. Some other great ones are the royal catchfly, fireweed. Jewelweed is a great one for the fall. The hummingbirds seem to follow the blossoming of the jewelweed and nectar on it. It was one of our last nectar-producing wildflowers. They feed on this as they even go south in the fall. Of course, now most of the hummingbirds are gone. They have already migrated.
Yep.
One for spring, the first one usually available and the best one in spring for the hummingbirds is the wild columbine, which is a beautiful flower. The lilies are also good for the summertime. The bee balm, woodland phlox is a fairly early one. That's great for the springtime. Fire pink is another one. Those are the major ones that are great for hummingbirds.
Yeah, so there's quite a few.
Oh, yes. I have a list of about 50 plants. These are only the primary ones.
All right. Well, let's take some more calls here. Again, you can join us at 1-800 642-1234 if you have a question for our guest today, Mariette Nowak, as we talk with her about birds and plants. And Lois and DeForest, you are next. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Lois. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes, thank you. I just turned my radio down. I got in very quickly. I wanted to make a comment about my deck and having plants in the wintertime, much less the summertime, for the birds, so I can sit right there at the corner of my deck and see them feeding on hyssop. And I haven't heard that mentioned as a plant for either attracting bees or birds.
Oh, hyssop?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, that's great. That would be more into the summertime. Of course, it wouldn't last into winter. But, yeah, that's great. And it's a deck plant, and you said. Great. You can.
I have it at the corner of my deck. I have a wildflower.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's a good one. Thanks for mentioning it.
No, but what I'm saying is that I don't cut those down after they've bloomed.
Oh,
I see. So the seeds are available.
Oh, they're just full. One little candle is just full of seeds. And this spring, I had an oriole land in this small little planting area at my deck. So it was very close. I didn't have to have containers.
Yes, right. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I assume that maybe the other person was in an apartment or something. But yes, if you have a deck over a yard, then there's all kinds of possibilities. Right. Thank you though for that. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah. Thanks, Lois.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And by the way, Lois is a sustaining member.
Oh, well, thanks, Lois. That's terrific.
That's a double thanks to you, Lois. Thanks a lot for calling and for being a sustaining member. Sylvia in Appleton. Hi.
Hi. I have a comment about the trees.
Yeah.
A nice succession, if you have a spot where you don't mind a mess, a mulberry has been a great attraction. And then I have a mountain ash, which comes next. And then I have a prairie fire crab tree, which holds its fruit until it freezes before they can eat it. So there's a succession from summer to fall to winter for the birds. And also I had a pokeweed come up on its own, and they seem to love that. It gets rather tall. I don't know how invasive it is up here. I know it's more of a southern plant. Also a suggestion for an easy water source. I have a garbage can lid, which is very shallow, a short shepherd's hook, and then I took a water bottle, a gallon water bottle, and poked a hole in the end of it, and I let that drip into the garbage can lid, and the birds love it. There were seven robins out there yesterday waiting to get their turn to get there.
Plus the
little birds, like the, I have white-throated sparrows now, and it's shallow. It's very shallow, so they love it, too.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. Oh, yeah, and it's so much fun to see the birds around the water and around the feeders and around those native plants and feeding off them. Dave in La Crosse, hi.
Hi, thanks. Just wondered what you'd suggest for nest building. I know most of the birds that I've seen love arborvitaes, but I wondered what else you'd suggest.
The arborvitaes are great for the birds to nest in. Some of our shrubs are great, too. The nineberry is a more of a wet-loving shrub, but boy, I've seen a lot of nests in the nine bark, so that would be another good one. But evergreens of all kinds are really good for early nesting, especially because in early spring, some of our deciduous trees haven't leafed out yet and don't have the protection. So it's always nice to have a few evergreens for them early in the year. Oaks, most of our trees are gray too. I've seen a lot of nests in oak trees. And as far as material for nests, there are some plants that, for example, hummingbirds like to use the fuzz on thimbleweed and some of other fuzzy, the willows have a little fuzz on their seeds and so forth. So the hummingbirds like to use those for their nests. And marsh or swamp milkweed. Orioles will kind of strip off some of the fibers of that plant for their nests. So there's a lot of possibilities. But in general, if you have native plants and shrubs of various kinds, they not only serve for food sources, but nesting sites also.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Dave. Appreciate it. There's an email from Ben, and this is about the currants. He says it's only the black currant that carries the white pine blister rust disease. The red and the white currants are fine and don't pose a danger. So that's Ben commenting on that. An email from Tim as well. What native plants work best to attract bluebirds? We're seeing them on their return south now.
Well, bluebirds do love berries. First of all, they love insects earlier in the year. They need up to about 300 caterpillars to feed their nestlings, so that's very important. But later in the year, and if they're returning south to your area, if you have some shrubs and trees that will provide berries for them in the winter, that's a big source of their food in the winter time, and whatever maybe insects that they could find. As far as planting for bluebirds, they usually like a few trees. They're savanna birds, and then they like shorter grasses better than the tall grass prairies, you might say, because they like to, and they like perches to sit on to watch for insects, and then they'll fly down to get those insects. So short grass prairie is great habitat.
Ah, wonderful habitat. And wonderful guest today, Marianne Nowak, who is the author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. She knows a lot about this, and from years of experience and years of study, and it's great to have someone like her on the show who has that knowledge to pass on to you and to me. Love that very much. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears-Poisson. You get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio no matter when you listen, and today we're asking you to put something back in. At WPR, we count on listener contributions to pay for just about everything we do, and your gift now keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, Larry, we are just about halfway to our goal of 70 pledges for the show today. We are looking for 36 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. I know that sounds intimidating. It is a little bit, but I know there are more than 36 of you out there listening, so we need your help now. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 36 more pledges. We can do it.
Great conversation with Marianne Nowak about gardening with native plants to attract birds. I love love talking with her. She's a delightful person. I hope you enjoyed listening to her as well, and I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Choose a gift, any amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, right now, you can get Birdscaping in the Midwest when you make a contribution of $180. It's a great book. I know from talking to people who have called in and seeing emails that you've been enjoying the conversation. You're excited about planting those great native plants that will attract birds. Your donation supports the programs you love. And right now, you can get a nice thank you gift of that Birdscaping in the Midwest book with your pledge of $180 or more. So pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
What we do on this show is connect you with experts. How many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to someone like our guest today, Mariette Nowak, or talk to a Scott Craven, or talk to the editor of a magazine, maybe a politician, or maybe the author of another book? The Ideas Network brings these experts right to you, and you can help make it possible. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you if you've already contributed. And if you haven't, this would be a great time to pledge at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Larry and Judith here asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio, and maybe your gift is $50, or maybe it's $180. You'd like that book, or maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 35 more pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. You might be asking yourself, why should you give at this moment? Well, because you're listening right now and you're thinking about it right now.
It's the right thing to do, and you'll feel good when you do it. It's an important public service at WPR, and you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, and news and talk.
And you'll be joining other donors like Larry and myself.
Absolutely.
We proudly support Wisconsin Public Radio. And Wisconsin Public Radio uses your donations and ours wisely, putting them into the programs that you hear every day. Support this station. Support the network that you value right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
New members are really important to WPR. A big thank you to all the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour. We have 15.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, great. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation, the better we're able to withstand the economic ups and downs.
It's true. So if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount and you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Still looking for 35 pledges.
Judith's always telling me to think big.
I didn't know I was.
It's an expression you can really put into practice by listening to and then giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. When you listen, you get the best music, the best talk and news, and encourages you to think big.
And when you donate to keep that high-quality music, talk, news, and entertainment available to you and to your community, your gift of any amount is added to the gifts of others to make big things happen on WPR. So give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Just takes a couple minutes to do it. In return, you'll get so much back. Might even consider a donation of $100 a month.
Your $1,200 contribution helps us bring you the talk, news, music, and entertainment that you count on from WPR. And it helps make sure that our community and our state gets the public radio we all want and deserve. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your donation of any amount is very much appreciated.
And remember, you can get Birdscaping in the Midwest for your pledge of $180 or more.
Still looking for 34 pledges before 12:30. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just 2 minutes of your time. You just give us your name, a little contact information, how much you've decided to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organizations.
Your gift supports the stories, the programs that keep you connected to the world. Please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here's some good news. You'll enjoy WPR pledge free after 1 o'clock this afternoon, but And there's always a but, isn't there? But to make Pledge Free afternoons possible, we need to all pull together during these earlier hours. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient.
Looking for 32 more pledges in the next about 2.5-3 minutes. We help us make that. We can make it. Help us make that goal at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Nice little jump. Now we're looking for 29 pledges in the next few minutes. Come on, everybody. We can do it. And don't forget, you can ask for birdscaping in the Midwest with your pledge of $180 or more. There's also the great new WPR t-shirt at the $120 level. So that's another option. The important thing is to pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Scott from Green Bay, Wisconsin says birdscaping is awesome. And that's one. Thank you, Scott. And Daphne from Duluth, Minnesota says she finds herself turning to WPR and especially to this show several times a week, which is great. Thanks for the excellent programming, she says. And Daphne, thank you for your excellent contributions to Wisconsin Public Radio. What about you? If you haven't given yet, boy, now's a great time to do it. As this program is ending, we got about 28 more callers to go.
Please help us out. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Kathy from Racine says, I can't give much, but WPR is a part of my daily routine, and for that I give thanks. Well, Kathy, really, every pledge, every gift is appreciated. Join Kathy in showing your support. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Looking for 28 more pledges. With your help, we can make that goal.
We still have another minute or two to go before we go off the air here with this program. Call right now at 888-202-2552, or better yet, go online to WPR.org. Make your contribution right now. And thank you.